If you've wandered into the young adult section of a bookstore or a movie theater recently, you might have wondered just how many dystopian fantasies does the world really need? The Hunger Games apparently fueled an appetite for stories about young people who kill each other in made-up militarized societies. A new book out this week continues this literary trend. It's called A Torch Against the Night. NPR's Neda Ulaby has the story of how Saba Tahir went from editing news at the Washington Post to writing fiction for young adults.
It started at her desk when she was handed a haunting news story about women in India whose husbands, sons, and brothers had been disappeared by state police.
And it's not always clear what the charges are, and a lot of these women never find out what's happened to their family member. They're just gone.
Saba Tahir could not shake the story out of her head.
I edited that story that night, and I remember walking through the Post garage and thinking about it. I was thinking about my own brothers. I'm very close to them. And the idea that I could live in a place where they could just be taken.
So it was cathartic to go home and start writing a fictional story about a girl with black hair and golden eyes, whose brother is similarly disappeared. Tahir connected to this news story partly because it was filed in Kashmir, near Pakistan, where her family's originally from.
And you know, where through maybe any twist of fate, I could have potentially grown up there.
The story became Saba Tahir's first novel. An Ember in the Ashes was an immediate bestseller. Paramount Pictures bought the movie rights before it was even published. Critics compared it to The Hunger Games mixed with Game of Thrones.
I think that An Ember in the Ashes is really its own thing.
That's Marie Rudkowski. She's an English professor who also writes young adult fiction, and she reviewed Saba Tahir's first book. Unlike in The Hunger Games, she says, Tahir writes from multiple points of view, showing empathy even with a merciless headmistress of an elite military school.
It felt so strange to be able to see from her perspective because she is so horrible.
And Rudkowski also appreciated the rich, dense layers of a fantasy world that borrows from ancient Sparta, Bedouin culture, and the loneliness of the author's own California childhood.
I grew up in this really isolated town in the Mojave Desert. My parents had a motel.
With 18 rooms and a pool they did not always fill.
It was built out of big cinder blocks, painted over white.
Even though the motel was located near a bustling military base, it was not the financial success her parents had hoped for.
Flipping the no vacancy sign was always a really huge deal because it happened so rarely.
Tahir says hers was not an easy childhood. She spent lots of time getting lost in her brother's comic books.
I didn't fit in because I looked different from everybody else, and my family didn't fit in. You know, I heard people call them names or tell them to go back, and that was from a very young age.
But Tahir says feeling different helped form her as a writer. She stopped working for the Washington Post 7 years ago, partly to focus on fiction. Growing up in a motel, she says, meant exposure to a parade of characters passing through.
You know, crazy people, weird people, interesting people. There was this one guy who kept birds, and I remember that he wanted to pay us with a bird, and when he left, he gave us a parakeet.
For the fantastical characters in her books, Tahir also drew on elements of folktales she heard growing up, like the supernatural beings called jinn, spirits common to Muslim mythology in South Asia and the Middle East.
And, you know, my mom told me stories about jinn. She said that they lived in trees, and they have really bright eyes. That's something that made it into the book, that they have free will. They can be good or they can be evil.
Reading fantasy and dystopian novels now, Tahir says, is not an escape for readers. Maybe it's a way to understand real parts of the world that many of us, through a twist of fate, are lucky enough not to live in. Neda Ulaby, NPR News.